Happy Sunday, happy Sunday, happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Can I have you stand up? I am so excited. Say, I am so excited. God is going to encourage me today. If you are thinking, I don't want to be here, your brain will affirm that and you will have a horrible time. But if you say, God is going to bless me today, guess what? Your brain will affirm that. So let's say, God is going to bless me today. Let's spend 30 seconds celebrating as loud as you can the goodness of God. Come on, one, two, three, let's go. Come on. One. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Up there, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Now, if you like, he don't know my problems. A girl left me last night. My dog ran away. Lost my job. Guess what? How many of y'all, God has got you through your worst nightmare in the past? If you are having a hard day right now, God sees you. You are here. It's the best place you can be, by the way. And he is going to get you through. So let's celebrate that. Come on, girl. Come on. Come on. Amen. Let's go! Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you have never failed us. Amen. You have never failed us. And a lot of times the things, the drama we have in our life, we blame on you, but it's not your fault. We dated that girl. We let that guy take us home. We did this and that. So we thank you that you never gave up on us. So I pray that today we would all just take one more step closer to being like Jesus, and that we would surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Please turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I have shared many times that I cold plunge. I get in cold water almost every day, depending on traveling or whatever, and I have a cold plunge in my house. The water's like 47 degrees, and I get in there for 3 minutes, have my music, Earth, Wind, and Fire, my worship music, old school reasons. I listen to my reason song. For all y'all who know that song, best love song ever. Anyway, I've always seen on TV people who jump in lakes where it's really cold, like, you know, you see snow and ice or whatever, and they jump in the lake. And I'm like, now that's crazy. Well, I happened to be in Montana last week where it is 32 degrees and snowing, you know, they're skiing out there and it's snowing. And I was out there for a conference with athletic trainers and gym owners, and they all work out. So they had a workout in the morning, the two mornings, and then after the workout, they were gonna go in the lake. So I saw that on the agenda. And they said, bring your bathing suit. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. But I brought my bathing suit, right? Because I didn't want to punk out. And I was like, come on, dummy, you do this every day. I was like, yeah, but that water's cold. And it's freezing out there. So I brought my bathing suit anyway. And we worked out. And then we all went to the gym. And I'm like, yeah, we're going in the water. I'm like, not me, I ain't going in that water. So anyway, I go back to my room to get my bathing suit. And my key doesn't work. Because for some reason, it deactivated. So I'm like, yes, my key don't work. So, show the video. Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm here in Montana. At Whitefish, Montana, at a conference, and we just finished working out. The conference is with a bunch of athletic trainers and gym owners. Just had a great workout. Now we're gonna go cold plunge in the lake. I think here we go. Let's go.
Good luck.
I think the lake is about, I don't know, 40 something degrees maybe. And if you don't believe I'm in Montana, we don't have this in San Diego. Come on, baby. So here we go. I'm gonna go out here in this cold water and see how this works out. Here we go. You're in the water.
Get in there, baby.
Let's go.
Controlling that breathing.
Anyway, I was told not to show any flesh.
It's like, what?
Don't show any flesh, Pastor. I was like, all right, whatever. It's just muscles. I mean, it's just muscles. So I go in there, you know, got a bathing suit on, and that's it. Nothing else. You know, it's not like no wetsuit. So they were already in the water. There's like 15 people in the water. And I went down there, and I'm like, hey, Pastor Miles, let's go. And I got in the water, and we were in the water for like 15 minutes. The water was 39 degrees. It was actually snowing. And I got in the water, and they're all, you know, yeah, screaming, yeah, firing each other up. Pastor Miles, share us the devotional. I'm like, a devotional. and someone went, oh, no. So anyway, we were in there like 15 minutes, and I remember coming out of the water, and I was cold. I mean, especially my feet, walking on the dock there. And then we went into the hot tub. But being around so many people doing the same thing kind of distracted you from the pain of the water. It's like, well, everybody else is doing it. We can do it. This works. Whenever you do something with a group of people that are doing it together, it encourages you to go further than you would go on your own. Today we're going to read about some heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. These are people who trusted God and they had faith in God. And they're in the Bible to teach us that living by faith will actually bring results in your life, but actually establish a legacy in your life. Today is our last series on Heart for the House. And it's really Heart for Your House. We've been talking about investing in ourselves. What is the vision that God has for our church? And what is the vision God has for you? And then we were taking financial offerings, special offerings for what we want to do as a house next year, which is evangelize young people. We are going to go hardcore on evangelism, especially next generation. We're launching a training to teach you how to share your faith called Just One. Everyone say Just One. We're going to be launching that through all our small groups and 6 weeks of sermons here. We're also giving this curriculum away to churches. We had a meeting Thursday this past week. We had 80 churches represented that came out and said, we want to know about this. And then Mother's Day weekend, we are going to have a countywide youth event at VA House Arena. That holds like 12,000 people, whatever it is, and get kids there to do evangelism. So when you give your offering today, we're going to take offering. All the money goes to that. How are we going to help reach the next generation? And the next generation ministry that we have here at the church is also going to be part of that investment. Thursday, Friday, Saturday last week, people gave pledges, with about 760 give pledges. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But today we're going to take an offering. Obviously, we haven't taken it yet. We're going to take it at the end. And you're going to get, if you haven't gotten this already, you're going to be able to do this online. And if you could put that one card up, one slide up that talks about them writing their vision. What I want you to think about today as I'm talking is I want you to think about what is God's plan for your life. When you make an investment, a financial investment or a prayer investment, or anytime you are obedient to God, you are investing in your ability to be more like Jesus. But part of that is you fulfilling what God has created you to be. It's not that I just want to be a nice person, I want to be a patient person, I want to pray. That's all cool too. But that's the foundation of really what has God called you to be. He didn't call you just to have a job. He calls you to build the kingdom of God. Now, you could build the kingdom of God in your job, absolutely. But you need to know how were you gifted and how has God designed you. And so what I want you to do, pray today, and we've been talking about this for a few weeks, is what has God called you to do? Who are you? And that revelation will become clearer and clearer to you as you live longer and longer. But what do you know today? And at the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to fill in online, or if you have a card, fill in what God has called you to be. And then you're going to have an opportunity to give a pledge. Now, not a pledge, a donation, an investment, an offering. If you're new here and you're like, well, I don't know about this, here's what I would challenge you. Give a dollar. How many of y'all got a dollar? Look, it's a green piece of paper about that big. Or it's in your bank account. It's a digit. It says one with a little dollar sign. No, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm being real. How many of y'all got a dollar? Okay? We would love for all of y'all to participate. Now, here's the thing. If you say, well, what's a dollar going to do? It's really, the dollar's for you. It's you taking a step of faith and releasing it. out of obedience. Matter of fact, God is probably telling you to give more than a dollar, but I'm giving you a solid that you could just. And then I'm gonna ask you, God, how are you gonna respond to my faithfulness to that dollar? Now, I'm not saying he's gonna give you $2 back. He may fire you from your job so you can get a better job. Your deadbeat boyfriend may leave because you don't have the guts to quit him. Okay, God may help you. What I'm saying is that, God, I'm just gonna be faithful. And I'm not lying. When you are faithful to God and you're giving, you're serving, you're praying, you're whatever, God is faithful to you. As you draw near to him, he draws near to you. And he draws near to you faster than you draw near to him. As you go like this, he's like that. You know, he's like that. So as we're talking about what we're gonna talk about, I want you to be thinking about what does God want you to do and what vision do you have for yourself? Now, the vision for yourself can be simply this. God, I just want to read the Bible every day. Can you help me with that? I want to understand the Bible. I want to pray. Just start there. If you're not there, start there. I want to do a devotion every day. I want to come to church regularly. I want to get a small group. Whatever it is, just write that down and say, God, I'm declaring that I want that. And I'm gonna invest in them, the church reading Next Gen. How many of y'all are under 30 years old? How many of y'all are under 30? Raise your hand. Raise your hand really high so I can see you. And just wave your hands in the air. Yeah, there we go. Look at all these youngers. Okay, all these youngers. We're coming after you. And your friends, some of your friends, if they die today, they go to hell. And you're sitting here. We gotta help you get them. Let's go. This is life and death. And so we want to invest in that. Give you a dollar to that. Certainly you can give you a dollar to that. And here's what I would say. God, I am given a dollar. And by the way, if you say that, you may choke on those words because he knows you got more than that in your bank that he gave you. But you mean, I'll give it a dollar, Lord. What you going to give me for my dollar? God, I'm investing. Please honor this investment and reveal to me your hand on my life. Reveal to me my hand in my life. And if you got more faith for more than a dollar, do what God's calling you to do. But do something. Don't do nothing. There's a law of logic called the law of the excluded middle. There's three laws of logic. I'm not going to get into all three of them. But these are laws that people use. They're like 2,500 years old laws, principles of logic that whenever you have an intelligent conversation or even do math, or science, you can't violate these laws, okay? And one of them is the excluded middle, that this is a table, it is, or it's not a table. Sounds simple. It's a table or it's not a table. So something either is or it isn't that thing that you say it is, but there's no middle. So you're either generous or greedy. There's no middle. You're either stingy or generous or bountiful. You're either blessed or you're not blessed, but there's no middle. And so you want to decide, what do I want to be? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a definition of faith here in a minute. Look at the definition of faith. Faith is to trust in the unseen to establish an eternal legacy. I used to think of faith as I trust in this unseen thing so this would happen today or tomorrow in my lifetime. But as I'm reading what we're going to read today, God showed me that it's not only that I'm trusting God to do something in my life now, but I'm trusting God to establish a legacy after I leave. So when all y'all die, people are going to talk about you. Some people ain't going to talk about you for a day. They're going to forget you, right? But when they think about you, going, oh yeah, I remember so-and-so, and then they're going to say something. And that something that they say is going to be honorable. It's going to be, you put yourself for that something to be the most honorable by trusting God, by faith. Matter of fact, legacy, this is what legacy is. Legacy is that which you will be remembered for. So when someone thinks about you, what do they think? And I'm going to tell you the best legacy you can establish will come from your faith in God. Because when you trust God, you are trusting God for the purpose, as you do it biblically, for the purpose of being like Jesus, and that's the best reputation you can have. Part of that is giving, part of that is serving, part of that is praying. And so whatever we do here, biblically, you are investing in that legacy. And so today I want to talk about you having faith, not only in your giving, which is we're going to take an offering, but also in your serving, getting involved, and in all your activity during your lifetime, that you would be like Jesus, establishing a legacy. Everyone say legacy. So when people think about you, that the fruit of your life, the Bible says you shall bear fruit that remains, the fruit of your life outlasts your life. It's not just you impacting someone by talking to them, it's by them thinking about you. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 12. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds, the universe, the planets were framed or formed by the word of God, his voice, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everyone say the things that are seen were not made by things which are visible. Okay, everyone say the things that were made are not made by something that's visible. So everything you see, your hands, your clothes, the building, the lights, the trees, your car, your house, the world, the planets, the moon, the Mars, Venus, everything you see that was made, especially things that were nature, by the way, I will talk about that specifically, were made and brought into existence by something that's invisible. Big bang. Who banged it? Who organized what got banged it? Identify it. It's something that's invisible. Matter of fact, your identity, who you are, when you look in the mirror and I say, hey, Miles, I'm talking to an invisible, non-physical thing. This is not me. Me is my conscience. But my conscience cannot be touched. It cannot be seen. Who you are, this is trippy too. Who you are, how do you know you're there? How do you know you are you? It's your conscience. But there is no wiring in your brain to identify conscious. I'm gonna do a whole message on that because it's crazy. You are an invisible, non-physical. Well, where'd that come from? So whenever we pray, we are praying to something we haven't seen, something that is non-physical, invisible, but real. Give an example. Every single one, I was at a conference once speaking. It was a gang conference. It wasn't with gang members. It was about gangs in San Diego. And they had, you know, the PD, SDPD was there. They had the Chamber of Commerce or business people. They had the educational system, blah, blah, blah. And they had all these different groups. And they said, we're going to have now come up to speak Pastor Miles McPherson. He represents the faith community. So I got up to the thing. And the first thing I said was, I do not represent the faith community. All of y'all represent the faith community. You guys have faith in education. You guys have faith in money. You guys have faith in law enforcement. Not a bad thing. But we all have faith. Every single one of you are creatures of faith. How? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm hoping for something that I can't see to do something in my life. I pray. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what I'm praying to because I've never seen it. But I'm praying, having faith that it hears me. He hears me. You have faith every time you breathe. How many of you have ever seen oxygen? Anybody? Nope, you've never seen it. You only see what it does. How many of you have ever seen gravity? Nope, never seen it. How many of you have ever seen love? Nope, never seen it. You see what it does, but you don't see it. So when you go, that's an act of faith. I just believe that something I can't see came into my lungs to heal me. Every time I don't jump off the stage, because I know I'm gonna, even though I would land like a cat, that something that I have not seen will pull me to the ground. That's faith. When you love somebody, you take your heart, which by the way, you haven't seen, not only your physical heart, but your soul. You've never seen it. You've never seen your heart. You give it to somebody by faith, hoping they won't break it. How many of you had your heart broke? Right? You had faith in the wrong thing. Okay, we all been there. My point is that all of us are creatures of faith. So these people we're gonna read about, they had faith in God, but they had faith. Their faith in God not only blessed them in their life, it established a legacy for them. My challenge to you as we get to the end of the service here in a few minutes, that as you give, as you serve, that you would take a step of faith to invest in the legacy. By the way, that I would challenge you to write on a card, I wanna be known as this. What kind of person do you want people? What kind of person do you want to be known as? What do you want God to do in your life? So five people, we're gonna go through this swiftly. Number one, Abel. Abel had faith in an unseen legacy of giving. Abel was Adam and Eve's son. Adam and Eve had two kids, Abel and Cain. Well, they had two original kids, Cain and Abel. And they told them, give a sacrifice to God. Abel gave of his first fruits. We talked about first fruits last week. Give God my tithes first to God. He deserves first. Can I get amen? God deserves our first. Can I get amen? Cain said, I'm giving God my leftovers. And the Bible said, I reject your offering, Cain. I accept your offering, Abel. Cain got mad and killed his brother Abel, the first murder in the Bible. Because God did not accept his offering. Look what the Bible says. Will you be remembered as one who is a giver or a taker? How are people going to remember you? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that through it, he being dead still speaks. Abel is dead. Here we are still talking about him, his legacy. He gave generously. Is that you? Will God say that about you? That he can, watch this, he can trust you with things. He can trust you with opportunities. He can trust you with promotion because he knows you will honor him back. But if you're the type of person who says, oh, this is mine, he's going, ah. Remember that selfish kid? Who wants to give the selfish kid anything? You don't, because they're just going to be greedy with it. That's how we can be. Abel said, nope, I'm going to honor God, and he's going to honor me. Number two, Enoch. Enoch had faith in an unseen legacy of pleasing God. Raise your hand if you want to be a please God. Raise your hand if you want to please God. Okay, let's try this one more time. And by the way, if you're new, when we raise our hand here, we want to put an elbow above the ear like that, just like that. Okay, raise your hand if you want to please God. Okay, okay, very good. How many of y'all remember this, the excluded middle? You're either a please God or you don't please God. It's the one or the other. So how many of y'all don't want to please God? Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, hold on. Let me check my notes here. Not everyone here gives. Not everyone here worships regularly. Not everyone here reads their Bible all the time. Okay, so how many of y'all don't want to be a person who doesn't please God? You don't. Okay, how many of y'all want to please God? Okay, let me write this down again. Let me write this down. 100% wants to please God. Okay, to please God, you have to have faith in your giving and your serving and you're reading the Bible and you're forgiving people. Okay, so that means y'all want to do all that. Can I get amen? Okay, I'm just checking. Because the principle of the excluded middle is you either do or you don't. So Enoch, it says, will you be remembered as someone who pleased God? By the way, if I said to you, what are five things that you can do to be a better God pleaser, you would know them. Can I get amen? Do them. Just do them. If I came on Sunday and said, hey, can I just take 5 minutes and write five things down that God wants you to do, and you wrote them down, things that you're not doing that you should do, and I said, okay, go home. And you did them, you would get more out of that 5 minutes than listening to me for 45 minutes and not doing what I say. What God tells you. This is not complicated. If you're waiting for some revelation, you already got it. Watch this. How many of y'all know three things that God wants you to do that you're not doing? Okay, elbow above the ear. Let's do this. Y'all like, one more time. Raise your hand really high and look around the room. Come on. How many of y'all want to grow in your spiritual life and be a God pleaser and have miracles in your life? Newsflash, do that thing. Just do that thing. It's not that complicated. Okay? Look what's by faith, Enoch was taken away, raptured, so that he did not see death. Enoch was walking around pleasing God, doing everything, and all of a sudden, whoop, he was gone. He was just, God just took him. How many of y'all would love if God just take you? Not really. Y'all want to like die old age, all right, nasty. I'm holding on, honey. I'm holding on. I used to want to live to 120, and I saw this dude in Japan. He was 110, and he was like this. I'm like, good. God, I'm good. Just take me. So Enoch, by faith, was taken away so he did not see death, and no one found him. He was not found because God took him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Before he died, his reputation was that guy pleases God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A friend of mine, Ray Bentley, was a pastor of Maranatha Chapel. Anybody know Ray Bentley? Give a hand, Ray Bentley, Maranatha Chapel. I've known him for 40-something years. We went to lunch a couple years ago. And we said, man, we got to get together more often. We live near each other. His church is literally a mile from my house, 2 miles from my house. And we got to get together. And a month after that, he died. He died sitting at his kitchen table with his wife and daughter having a vision of seeing Jesus calling him. Oh, snap! I want to go like that, man. I want my wife to go with me, though. Honey, you're coming with me now, okay? You see him? You see him. I know you do. When I go down, we're we going together. But can you imagine God saying your name? What's your name in the hat? Huh? Roy, I'm not prophesying that this is going to happen, but this is just like, so hopefully, imagine God saying, hey, Roy, you ready? You ready? And he said, no, it's going to be good. I got something for you. All of y'all, Enoch, God took him. Will you be remembered as someone with godly fear? He was known as someone who feared God. Abraham had faith in an unseen legacy of faith. He had to get the faith. Will you be remembered as someone who had followed God into the unknown? Abraham was called by God to leave his father's land and his inheritance to go to a place which he did not know. He was called to leave the known for the unknown. Anytime you walk by faith, even if it's, hey, go apply for this job, go buy this house, whatever it is, you are leaving the known to the unknown. Even as simple as buying a house. The last 3 houses that I moved to, I didn't want to do it. My wife's like, nah, this is what we're going to do. I was like, I don't want to do it. And one of the houses I was in, literally, it was one of the most vivid times God spoke to me. I was walking through the house, through the, you know, the model thing, showed the house, and literally the Spirit said, it's not for you. I stopped. He said, it's not for you. I said, okay. And it ended up working out. But I was going from what I knew and was comfortable in to what I did not know how it would work out. That's faith. So look what it says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive an inheritance. He's going to receive something. He's going from what he knows, inheritance he has, to another inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. When God calls you to obey him, I don't know if you're ever really going to know all the information about what is going to happen. You just need to know, I got to take a step. That is faith 101. And there may be, God may be calling all of y'all to something right now, to a decision, to an action that you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. That's the definition of faith. If you're thinking, I need more information, God will purposely not give it to you because he wants you to trust him. Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. We just read it. It is impossible. Everyone say impossible. You can't. And when God gives you a vision of something, when God calls you to something, there's going to be a period of time where you're going to be the only one going. If God calls you to start a business, now you may have a partner, but there's going to be a time when you guys are the only ones, and then you got to get other people to buy into it. When God calls you to do anything, it's going to be between you and him. And there'll be a time where it's going to be lonely. Am I doing the right thing? Is anybody going to believe in this? Is anybody going to join me? And that's going to be a time when you have to hold on to just him. Just him. It says, by verse 9, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with his son Isaac, Jacob, his grandson, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Will you be remembered as someone who trusts God into the unknown? If as humans we like to know and be comfortable and understand everything, and God says that has a purpose to a degree, but if you're going to follow me, I'm always going to take you to somewhere that you've never been, because I'm trying to transform you into something you've never been. And so if you understand that, for some people, it's harder than other people. My wife's a rule follower. She likes to know everything. I'm a risk taker. It's not one's right or wrong at all. It's just different. So she'll have a different pace. And I always want to, let's go. And she's like, well, where are we going? And so we do it together. But everybody has a different pace. But at the end of the day, even for her, she's going to have to, for her, go into a place of unknownness. And I'm, for me, going to have to be in a place of unknownness. All of us, that's the nature of walking by faith. Lastly, is Sarah had faith in an unseen legacy of trust. Will you be remembered as someone who surrendered yourself? Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90-something. She's like, look, God says Sarah's going to have a baby. And Sarah, when Sarah heard the angel telling Abraham this, she was like, she laughed in the tent. She was hiding, kind of eavesdropping through the tent. And the angel said, why'd you laugh at what God said? She said, I didn't laugh. No, we heard you laughing that you think you're not going to have a baby because you're old. She was old and Abraham was old. They were both way beyond, they were old, crusty, way beyond their ability to have a baby. Look what the Bible says. This to me is hilarious. It's hilarious. Look what the Bible says. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, get pregnant. She did not have the ability to be pregnant. She was in her 90s. Then it says, she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised him. God told you guys gonna have a baby. She's like, how am I gonna have a baby? And how is he gonna, how is this gonna happen? Have you seen this brother? He's like, oh, this is in the Bible, right? And God said, I'm gonna give you strength. She said, okay, well, let's go. We're gonna, I trust you. I don't know how it's gonna happen. And look what it says in verse 34, verse 12. It says, therefore, from one man, look what it says, him as good as dead. He's good as dead. This is the Bible. Look at Abraham's like, I don't know how I'm going to say, Sarah, we're going to figure this out. My man. Therefore, from him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.